chapter 6, and just a couple of verses, verse 39 through 42, and we're going to read it in unison together out of respect and honor for the Lord's Word. Luke chapter 6, verse 39 through 42. It's coming. Let's begin together. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? We have some new software. We're working it. We're working it. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that in a minute. In the meantime, I'm going to ask Randy Denny to come pray over the Word this morning, and perhaps by that point we'll have that ready. So, Randy, would you come pray over the Word, and then we'll read it together. We'll come back to it.
Thank you for your Word, Lord, that is preserved. We have it here. We just thank you for that. We just pray that you hold back the evil one. Anoint Pastor Tom with your Spirit, that your Word would go forth, that we would be enlightened, that you would teach us, Lord, as we come to hear from you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Continue with the Word then. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated and take out your outline for the message. We know we were handing those out, so if anyone didn't get one of those outlines, we have some extras. If you would just raise your hand if you didn't get one of those outlines, one of our ushers could do that, please. If you just keep your hand raised, one of our ushers will get one of those to you. Luke chapter 6, we're continuing our series on Jesus the Messiah. Everybody got one that wants one? Great. Let me, by way of introduction to this message, talk to you a little bit about when I worked in construction many years ago. When I worked in construction, one of the things that is always an aggravation for those who work in construction is if you get sawdust in your eyes. And, you know, if you're smart, you'll wear the safety glasses when you're cutting wood, and especially, you know, the OSB, the chipboard, because that stuff just makes such a mess and flies up in the air and everything, and you really need to wear safety glasses. But, you know, even sometimes wearing the safety glasses, you still get a chip in your eye. And one particular time, we were cutting some of that stuff. I was cutting some of it, and I got a wood chip in my eye. And, man, that thing, it hurt. It was a pretty good-sized wood chip, and I couldn't get it out. And I'm working on it, and, you know, a couple of the guys around me, you know, they offer to come up, and they say, "Here, let me look at it." You know, and the thing is, they come up to me and, you know, their hands are covered in grime. You know, they got sawdust, you know, dropping off of them too. And they're like, "Oh, yeah, let me help you." You know, it's like, you know, get away from me. It's bad enough. And what I actually started to do was I'd actually start carrying eye drops on site, and also began to carry antibiotic drops as well, because inevitably you get a wood chip in your eye, and you're trying to get it out, and then your eye would get infected. And that happened to me a number of times, so I finally just started keeping antibiotic drops, you know, nearby because it would happen so often. Well, in this story here, Jesus is using hyperbole. And what he's doing, he's exaggerating the point to make a point. And in this passage, the main point is this, that Jesus is trying to say to us, Messiah Jesus counsels us, his followers, to first remove the plank in our eye, my glaring failure, before seeking to remove the speck, the minor fault, from my brother or sister's eye. He's counseling us to first remove the plank out of our eye, that glaring failure that everyone else sees except me, before I seek to remove the speck, the minor fault, out of my brother's and sister's eye. Now, you know, you can see the hyperbole. He says, you know, you have a plank in your eye. You know, think of a person that would actually have a plank coming out of their eye. I mean, that would be so obvious, you know, that you just couldn't miss it. Well, that's his point. That's his point to his followers. He's saying to us, some of us have such glaring failures in our own life that it should be obvious to us, and yet we miss them. We miss it. Sometimes things are obvious to everyone but me. Or in your case, everyone but you. And when Jesus uses the term, the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, what does he mean? He means that sometimes we, as followers of Christ, we are forgiven, we're saved, we're forgiven, and we're following him. But sometimes we can really be very critical of others. You know, sometimes it's in our nature that we're very critical of others. And, you know, the point is to find a speck of sawdust in my brother's eye. It's something very small, very minimal. And what does Jesus mean? What does he mean when he's talking about a plank in my eye? What is it? He means that I am critical towards others when I'm blind to myself. I'm critical of others' minor faults when I have this huge failure in my own life and I don't even see it. You see, when we act like that, Jesus says we are acting like hypocrites. Now, the word hypocrite means an actor or a player. We know in that day that the word hypokratos was someone who wore a mask. You know, in the Greek plays, they would hold up the mask and you would play a particular character. Well, that's what he's saying. Take the mask off. As Christians, we are not to be hypocrites. We are not to be actors, acting as if we're all spiritual, with no issues and no problems, no failures whatsoever, so much so that we would begin to focus on the speck in my brother or my sister's eye. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. And yet I know in my nature that I tend towards that. I'm just being honest. I tend towards being critical of others and uncritical of myself. Isn't that the truth? Aren't we all like that? Some of us to a greater degree than others. Some of us really struggle. Well, before I press on into the main point, there's a couple of points that Jesus makes here, verse 39 and 40, that really are related, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. But verse 39 is this. Verse 39, he says, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both not fall into a pit? What is he saying in this? He's saying that we should not seek to lead somebody else until we clearly see our own way. We shouldn't seek to lead somebody else until we clearly see our own way, meaning I have a right account of myself. I have a right account of myself. And how does it relate to the main parable? It means that, you know, I should not presume to criticize my brother or my sister and take a speck out of their eye until I've clearly dealt with myself and I have a right account of myself. Because otherwise, you're going to end up both in a pit. Because, you see, that kind of critical spirit, kind of critical and legalistic attitude towards people is going to lead you both into a pit. Make sure you're walking the way you should be walking before you try to lead anyone else, lest you fall into a pit. And then there's verse 40. he says, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. What does he mean by that? What Jesus is saying is every one of us who are his followers, who have come to know him, we should take the stance of a student, a learner. All of us are disciples of Jesus Christ. The word disciple means a learner, means a student. And so what he's saying is we should take that stance with humility. We should not take the stance that we are above Christ, where we begin to criticize his people, his followers. We talked about that last week with the whole issue of judging. Who am I, who are you, to judge and criticize God's people, Jesus' followers? We shouldn't be like that, always trying to correct others. Jesus was not like that. It's interesting when you read all the different stories and incidences that Jesus had with people, he did not focus on criticizing people. In fact, even the ones that had great failures, what did he do? He first loved them. Do you remember? And we're going to be preaching from it in a few weeks. But the story of the woman caught in adultery, and her accusers were around her, condemning her and ready to throw stones at her. And Jesus does not join in their condemnation. Jesus does not join in their criticism. But rather, he says to them, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. And of course, they all leave. And then what does he say to the woman? He says, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, there are none, though they're gone. He's kind to her. Now, he does not compromise the truth. He says, go and sin no more. Shouldn't we have an attitude like that, like Jesus says? See, when we're critical of other people, we're putting ourselves above Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you know, I know that you love everybody and you've died for their sins, but you know, I think I need to be your watchdog, Jesus. I need to be your guard so that I can set people straight. I need to help them see their faults. That's what you're saying when you're critical of others, when you find fault with others. And you see, the plank in our eye is the fact that we are critical of other people and missing our own faults, missing our own failures. Jesus was always looking for the ones who had faith, regardless of their failures. Do you remember what he says to Zacchaeus? I mean, you know, he's a short man, he's a tax collector, and everybody's like, what is he? Jesus isn't going to pay any attention to him. And as Jesus comes near him, he says, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. I must have dinner with you today. And he just blew everybody's mind. He's the kind of a guy that everybody stayed away from. I mean, they already had him, you know, pegged. Oh, he'll never amount. You know, he's a rebel. He's a renegade. You know, he works for the Romans collecting taxes. They just wrote him off. Not so with Jesus. Jesus was always looking to find the person who would respond in faith, who he could then call to be his follower. And so we have to be careful that we don't take a stance where we are putting ourselves above Jesus. You see, but as we have that humble attitude and we focus on me, then I will be fully trained to become like Jesus. I will have the right heart and the right attitude towards others. Learning, changing, focusing on myself. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough job focusing on myself, dealing with myself. That's a hard job. My wife can say amen. You know, who am I then to be critical of my brothers and my sisters, you know, when I can't even deal with myself? So the point Jesus is making is deal first with yourself. So number one, as we break this down, focus on your own failures and then seek Jesus to transform you. Focus on your own failures first and then seek Jesus to transform you. This is what he's saying. Jesus is saying, first, take the plank out of your own eye, then you will see clearly. It's so absurd that it makes you laugh, doesn't it? You know, the idea of having a plank coming out of your eye. It's like it's absurd. It's outrageous. But what Jesus is saying is sometimes you and I, we have these glaring failures in our life, and they're planks sticking out of our eye, and we treat them like what? Like specks. That's how we treat them. You see? And so what happens is when we do that and we get the focus off ourselves, then all of a sudden we're looking and we see little specks in our brother's eyes. Oh, Brother Johnson, man, I've come to help you. I'm going to help you get straight, brother. I've seen some things you're doing, man, and I need to help you get straight. Right now, even though I'm kidding, and he's a good sport and he always lets me pick on him, but right now something's rising up in him saying, Pastor, you better leave me alone. Better back off. That's our natural response, isn't it? That's the response of our nature when someone comes at us that way, when they're trying to, you know, point something out in our lives. Why? Because we know immediately. Listen, you still with me? Say amen. We know immediately when somebody is coming to us in love and out of concern for our good versus someone who's coming with a critical spirit, you know, arrogant and presumptuous towards us. We know it in a heartbeat. Now, the fact is we all have mixed motivation. None of us are pure. We know that. But in the main, when we come towards people, and Jesus is going to show us this, we have to come for their own good, come towards them for their own good. And so Jesus says, take the plank out of your eye. Then you will see clearly. The reality is we have to see it. We have to see the plank in our own eye and then ask Jesus to take it away. Ask Jesus to change us. Ask Jesus to transform us. That's a process. When you come to Christ and you get saved, you know, all those things don't happen overnight. You know, there's some things that you deal with and you deal with and you deal with, and eventually, you know, God transforms us in all these areas. But God is very gracious and kind. Can you imagine if God made a laundry list of all the things that we were failing in all at once? Whew, man. I'd give up. I'd be like, you're right, God. There's no hope for me. But he doesn't do that. First of all, he says, I love you. And I've sent my son to save you despite all your failures, despite whatever your background is. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to take it one room at a time. You've heard me share the illustration. God looks at our lives like a house. And first he comes into the living room. And he starts cleaning up in the living room. You know, and we're all happy about that because, you know, the living room, it's sort of our appearance. You know, and that's usually the first thing that gets cleaned up when we come to Christ. You know, you clean your act up and, you know, then he wants to go back to the back room there, to the closet that we have all locked up, full of junk. Full of crud. You know, room by room he goes, and he gets finally to those closets that we have locked up. Tom, what's in this one? We need to clean this one out. Oh, no, God, you know, I got some things in here that I kind of want to keep. I don't want to get to that closet right now. And what does God do? He says, okay, I'll wait. See, God's a gentleman, and he waits there. And the next opportunity that he has, I'm still at the closet, Tom. Let's clean out this closet. Let's deal with all this junk from the past that you've stored in this little closet. Oh, God, I'm afraid to open that closet up. I don't know if I can face that. And he says, we'll face it together. We'll clean this closet out so that all of you can be clean. Every aspect, every room in your life can be clean. But guess what? God does that through His Holy Spirit. He does not need you and me to help Him. I don't know why we think we're a very good Holy Spirit sometimes. You know? And you know, you think I'm preaching only to you. I'm preaching to myself. Because you know what? I had this tendency when I was younger. I can have this tendency at times now. And God has to continue to break this in me so that I am not critical and judgmental towards others. You see, what happens is when you focus on others' faults, you can't even see your own failures. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're struggling with that, but you won't deal with yourself in that, others won't want to be around you. They won't want to be around you if you're like that. If you find fault with people all the time, if you're critical towards them, they won't want to be around you. You know, because they're not feeling the love. You know, and that's what Jesus commanded us to do. We are to love one another. Now, we're going to deal with truth. So don't think, oh, pastor's gone soft. No, we're going to deal with that in just a minute. Psalm 51, 9 through 13. Psalm 51, 9 through 13 talks about how we are to deal with ourselves. So Brother John Rich, if you would read that scripture for us.
Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my inequity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you.
Amen. Thank you. Lord, deal with my sin. Deal with me, God. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, a righteous spirit within me. That should be a prayer that we pray every day. Every day, O God, create in me a clean heart and a steadfast spirit, a spirit that follows Jesus Christ, loving as He's called us to love, because that's what He's commanded us, amen? He's commanded us to love one another. And you see, as I do that, as I get myself straight, then I will teach sinners His way, and they will be saved, and people will. You see, when you have a loving, winsome attitude, people gravitate to you. And even when you have to share something hard, if people know you're doing it in love, they're okay with it. But when you focus on other people's faults, then you're not even able to see your own. Number two, if you see a fault in your brother and sister, let's say you do see a fault, you do see an issue. First of all, check yourself to be sure you're correcting them for their good, not your pride, and be sure you're doing it in love. Now, that's a lot, and we'll unpack it here in a minute. But if you see a fault in your brother and sister, check yourself to be sure that you are correcting them for their good, not for your pride, not because you're angry, not because you're going to set them straight. And please don't use this line, well, brother, you know, God told me to come correct you. Ooh, really? That means, you know, if I disagree with you, I'm disagreeing with God. Don't set yourself up that way. You know, you can say, you know what, God has nudged me to reach out to you. That's one thing. But don't say, God told me to do this. Meaning, you know, if I disagree with you, I'm disagreeing with God. How can you win? That's a very dangerous statement. That's spiritual manipulation. Don't do that. But if you see a fault, come humbly. Check yourself. Make sure you're doing it for the right motivation, the right attitude. What is it? For their good. Not for your ego, not for your pride, not for your presumption. Oh, no. And do it in love. Jesus says in verse 42, He says, when you take the plank out of your own eye first, then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. See, there is a point, there is a place in the body of Christ where we are to admonish one another. Amen? We are to be in each other's business. I've heard that from many people. Pastor, you're getting in my business. Well, you know, first of all, you need to know if that's the case, I've done it very prayerfully and very carefully. And I hope we all take this kind of attitude towards one another. Jesus said, you will see clearly when you've dealt with yourself, when you take the plank out of your own eye, you'll be able to see clearly to help remove the speck from your brother's eye. Are you seeing clearly? In other words, have you dealt with yourself And then have you considered and checked your own motivation? Why you're trying to correct your brother or your sister, help them remove the speck? Why? Why are you doing it? We need to ask that question. Are you doing it for their good? Really? Are you doing this because you love them? Or are you just being critical? You know, I've had many people, and I'm just being a little bit transparent and vulnerable here, but I have had some of you come to me at times and say, Pastor, you know, when you spoke to me, you were harsh. You know, that really hurt. And you know what? I could do the pastor thing. Well, bless God, I'm the pastor, and he's told me to do it. Man, I hope I don't ever do that. And if I do, please call me on it. Get one of the elders and say, we need to go talk to Pastor Tom. But I have tried to be humble and say, you know what? You're right. I was harsh. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I want to do better. And I have tried to approach you in love. But listen, I'm human. I'm just like you. I lose it. I get angry. I sin. My motivation isn't always pure. Pastor, you said that? You mean you're not sinless? No, I'm not. And neither is any other pastor, and neither is any priest or any religious leader. We're just flesh. And we're not to be on a pedestal above anybody else. You know? So when I hear that, Pastor, I wasn't feeling the love. I need to check myself. And see, what a beautiful opportunity for reconciliation together. You know? Oh, we just fail at this, folks. Oh, we just fail at this so greatly. We have opportunity to come back together when we have failed and make it right and reconcile together and say, you know, that really hurt. I felt this way, I felt that way, you know, but I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I forgive you. You know, that's what it's all about. But if we won't do this, then we got these walls up between each other. Got the plank coming out of my eye, the other person has the plank coming out of their eye, and what are we doing? We're just banging into each other. Am I seeking to build that other person up? Am I seeking to edify them? I've failed at this many times. And I thank you that you are patient with me, that you forgive me, because I don't want to be like that. And I'm continually asking God, you know, break this hard heart. Break this heart, Lord. Mold it so I'm more like Jesus. But the Word says, this is why we are to talk to one another, admonish one another. This is the reason. Ephesians 4:29. This is something in the men's group that we talk about all the time. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, meeting their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. That should be my purpose. When I go to my brother, my sister, if there's an issue, if I see something, my purpose in this should be to build them up, to help them see this, you know, and then hopefully we deal with this and we move on. And, you know, I can say there's times when I really had the right motivation and I've handled it well. Almost always people receive it in love. It's only when we're not sharing in the love that people don't receive it. Now, can we get our backs up? Absolutely. Sure we can. No one likes to be corrected, do we? We don't like, none of us like that. But the Word of God says, you know, that this is what the Word is about, to correct us, even rebuke us at times, so that we can be more like Christ. And so there does come that point where we have a right of account of ourselves, we're dealing with our own failures, and then we can speak to each other in love. And we can deal with those issues that we have to deal with the right attitude and the right heart and the right motivation. Ephesians 4:15. Dave Kofelt will read that for us.
Rather, speaking in the truth and love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ.
Here's the problem. Speaking the truth in love. Here's the reason that we need to come humbly to each other. See, if I come presumptuously, what I'm saying is I know what the truth is. You're putting yourself above Jesus. For us to come and to judge somebody else's heart and to say, hey, I know what the truth is here, rather than come to them and, with a question and say, what is the truth here? What's happening? What's going on? So I'm doing it in love, and I'm coming humbly, not putting myself above Jesus. And when I do that, see, we can have a conversation, we can have a discussion, and we can get to the truth. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want my brothers and my sisters, if they see something in me, I want them to come to me. There's a number of brothers here in this church that have said that to me personally. They said, Pastor, if you see something off, if you see an issue, would you please come to me? Just don't let it go. Would you please come to me? And I'm here saying the same thing to you. You know, if you see something, if you see me react the wrong way, if you see me say something harshly, I want you to come to me. I want to be corrected. Because sometimes I don't see my own self. And I know sometimes you don't see yourself. Of course, I know you're not like me, and you know, you don't get angry, and you don't fail, and you don't speak harshly, and you don't blow it. You're not like me at all, are you? But the truth of the matter is, we are all this way. And some of us struggle with this more than others. Some of us by nature, see my hand? By nature are more critical than others. Whether it's, you know, our background, whether how we were raised, family, dynamics, all those kinds of things. And so this is an issue for some of us more than it is for others. But we're commanded in loving one another to handle these kind of issues the right way. And so I'm asking you this morning, will you make a commitment, not to me, would you make a commitment to Jesus? Say, Jesus, I want to be like you in this matter. I want to be like you with my brother and my sister, and making sure I got a plank out of my eye so I can see clearly, and when I approach others, to help them get a speck out of their eye, I do it in love, I do it for their good, with the right motivation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your powerful words. Lord, they cut right to the quick of our hearts, Lord. They cut right through all of our human rationalizing and justifying, all those things that we often do, Lord. You cut right through, and you tell us how we are to live as your followers. Lord, I pray for myself as I pray for my brothers and sisters here, and commit myself, Lord, that I will be a person who deals with myself, the plank in my own eye first. And then, Lord, I'll approach others in love. For their good, with the right heart and motivation. Lord, we commit ourselves to you, that you would change us, you would take those planks away. And Lord, in the middle of all this, we give you all the honor and glory for it. And so we thank you, Father, and we give you praise, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience, your attention to the Word. We're going to close the service, and as we do that, if any of you want prayer for any reason, if you want to be anointed with oil and prayed for healing, please come on up, and we'd love to pray with you afterwards. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of this day. Lord bless you. Amen. Amen.